all stand together tonight, if you would, please.
Amen, Brother Tyler. I think I got that on right, buddy. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 tonight in the Word of God. I'm going to look at one verse tonight of Scripture, a familiar verse, but I want to come at it tonight in just a little different way. And so 1 Timothy tonight, chapter number 4, and I trust tonight that the Lord will help us during this time together. I want to say real quickly while we're getting there tonight that I have thoroughly enjoyed being with you again this year. Thank you for the invitation, Pastor, to come. And I have enjoyed being with you. Also, I want to thank you for the kindness and the pastor's wife's dad tonight. He made sure I got a little something to eat kind of early this afternoon. And I appreciate that. And I just want to thank you again for the opportunity to be back. And boy, I've enjoyed every night. And every night had good liberty to preach. God's helped us. I praise the Lord for that. And it's not as difficult to be away from home when you're in a church where people want something. And I have been in a few that I got in tears on Monday night because I knew I was going to be there the whole week. And I thought, Lord, they don't even want anything. But I'm glad that you tonight and throughout the week have wanted God to do something in your midst, and I am very, very thankful. And I hope God's helped you this week. And look forward to days ahead to see what God's going to do. Love you, Pastor, and his family. And I appreciate him. I thank God for his vision and his desire to want to see God do great, great things. Verse number 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." I just want to read that verse tonight, and I want you to stay in your Bible on that verse, as I want to go through and look at some words there, and I want to preach tonight with the help of God on an example for Christ. An example for Christ. And I trust tonight, and I've dealt with this a little bit throughout the week, how that we need to live our lives as a light, as an example, as a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, sister. And I trust tonight that we will do that. And I trust tonight that God would help us to do that. Let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight, God, for the privilege that, God, we have to be in your house this evening. Lord, I thank you for all the good songs. I thank you, God, for your spirit. I thank you for your presence every night. Lord, we've been blessed this week to have good singing, good attendance. We've been blessed this week, most of all, to have your presence. Lord, I want to thank you for Crossroads Baptist Church. I pray tonight, God, that you continue to fill these seats with those that need the Lord. And I pray, God, you continue to grow it for your glory. Father, we want to thank you tonight for Jesus. We want to thank you for the blood of Calvary.
Amen.
God, I want to thank you tonight that, Lord, if it had not been for Calvary and your blood, none of us would have even ever probably met each other, never had these great friends we have tonight. Thank you for this church. Lord, I pray it would be that light and that, God, we'd never let our light go out. We'll thank you for all you do for us in Christ's name. And all God's people said,
amen.
You can be seated tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Tonight is dealing with Paul getting ready to turn over the reins of the ministry to a young man by the name of Timothy. All of us tonight can look back over our life, and we all tonight can be thankful for somebody that God put in our life to help us in this walk with the Lord. I'm so thankful tonight, and he's in heaven now, that I had an old-fashioned Southern Baptist preacher that used to stand up in front of me with his King James Bible and preach to me the Word of God. I'm glad that I got saved under that ministry. I was called to preach on that ministry. And God has given me an example in my life of what a child of God ought to be. I want to say this to you tonight. Whether you run into your preacher or church member at Walmart, or CVS, or if you run into them in church, they ought to be an example of what Christ would want us to be. And it's not what man would want us to be, but it's what God would want us to be tonight. As you think about Timothy, Timothy's getting ready to be admonished by the Apostle Paul. Many times I think we do this verse injustice. An injustice when we only use it to speak of youth, because honestly, there are some great attributes in this verse that all of us need to have in our life if we're going to be an example for Christ. Let me say this tonight. Knoxville, Tennessee needs some examples. Let me say this tonight, your school or your job or place of employment needs some examples. Let me say this tonight, you and I need to be a walking testimony of what Christ is and what He does in our lives. Listen, every one of us tonight that are sitting here, standing here tonight, can look back over our life and see someone that was an example in our life.
Amen. Amen.
Every one of us. Every one of us tonight can look back and think about somebody that we saw Christ in. Somebody that had a holy walk. Somebody that showed us what a Christian really was. And let me say this tonight, and you know this, but there's more to being a Christian than wearing it on a t-shirt or saying the name God at a sporting event. There's more to being a Christian than a bumper sticker or a license tag. Friend, we need to be examples of what Christ is, and we need to show others how to live for God. If God stirred your heart this week in revival, then go out those double doors and be an example for Christ. I want you to see tonight, if you would, in chapter number 4 and verse number 12. I want you to notice that Paul begins to admonish Timothy. And Paul says to Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. And what's the first thing he says? In word. I use that, and I will alliterate it tonight, and I would use that as meaning conversation. He says, I know the word conversation in the Word of God can be our manner of living. I'll say something about that. But when he says word here, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that Paul was admonishing Timothy to be the type of person that knew how to speak and say the right things in his life, and what come out of his mouth ought to be for the edifying and for the glorifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm amazed in our day how many people have a potty mouth or speak words that are unkind or today. Listen, you got to remember every word you speak, every time you're around someone unsaved, every time in your life you go out and you talk and you speak, and the words that come out of your mouth, the conversation that you have is very important as an example for Christ. Friend, listen, I learned a long time ago, if you can't say anything good, if you can't encourage someone or lift them up, you're better off not to say anything at all. God's people ought to have a voice of words of conversation that glorifies God. Amen. And I want to say this to you tonight. When you walk out of this building, when you go through your life, we need to practice good speech. The Bible tells us in James, Verse number 10, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Hey, I just want to say this, and I want you to understand this. There ain't nothing like a child of God walking by somebody that's had a rough day, or maybe something's going wrong in their life, and they need some encouragement. And a child of God walk by them and have a word of encouragement. Or say, I'm praying for you, or thank God for you, or want you to know you've been on my heart today. How many times in the middle of the night, how many times in my life has somebody picked up a phone and called my house and said, Brother Haslop, I wanted you to know I had you on my heart today and I've been praying for you. Listen, I'm telling you, we ought to be an example of Christ in our words. Amen. In our conversation. I like being around God's people that don't matter talking about and lifting up the name of Christ. Second of all, look back at the verse. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word. That's in conversation. Second of all, in conversation, the word itself. I said to you that means a way of living. I like to call it our conduct as a child of God. The Bible word, conversation, is the way we live our lives. The Christian should walk and should be an example. Every day of our life should be an example of how a child of God should walk. Amen. Our conduct in our Christian life. You know what I can find out real quick by being around people? Being around preachers I preach for, being around churches, you can find out real quick by people's conduct what kind of a person they are and how much they love God, how much they love the Lord by the very manner of living and the way they live their lives, their conduct. Listen, we live in a day-to-day, no wonder. And I say this with all of the humility I can, but no wonder a lot of people, Pastor, don't want to go to church. No wonder a lot of people are not interested in church. They meet so many Christians outside of church, and their conversation and their conduct is not what it ought to be. Friend, can I tell you this? Live your life to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and make much of Him. And when you walk from day to day, let the Lord and let others see Jesus in your life. Amen. It's one of the things I enjoy coming to Crossroads Baptist Church. Is I enjoy the conduct of God's people. Listen, I've been to churches before and I was preaching in. And I sat in the seat and nobody ever come to me at all and said, thank you for being here. I'm glad you're here. Please leave. Nothing. I have been in places. I've told you the story about that lady in Hilton Head that time. You guys have heard me tell that story. I was preaching in a meeting, sitting on the front row in a meeting. And I was the only one in the church. I got there early, and a lady asked me to get out of her seat. We were the only ones in the building. That's not really the conduct of a child of God. Amen. But I like being around people when you get to church and they're standing outside and they're cooking hamburgers and hot dogs and the smoke and the aroma is filling the air. And I like to look at them and say, reckon I could get one of them hamburgers early so I can digest it before I preach. And the fellow looked at me and said, preacher, you can have whatever you want. And I thought, hallelujah, get me about 14 of them, pack them up. Amen. Say, preacher, why do you say that? I enjoy it. One of the things I love about your preacher, I can just be me. He can just be himself. I don't have to put on a show. I don't have to be something that I'm not. I can just be who I am. It is who I am. But I want who I am to be somebody that represents Christ and lifts up God in my conversation and in my conduct of my life. Amen. I don't want to be mean-spirited. I want to hate sin but love the sinner. I want my conduct to be right as a child of God. My wife has been watching the service tonight. And she kept telling me, who's playing that piano? Do those guys that just sung go to the church? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She said, boy, they're doing great. They're doing great. I thought, quit texting me. I'm in church. But she knows we got these big signs on our screens in the church that says, please turn off your cell phone. Then when I'm out of town, I'll text her in the middle of service, everything going all right? Amen. Right. But listen, I live with zippity-doo-dah. Let me explain that. If you ever, years ago, Uncle Remus, I believe it was, had that little bird, there's a bluebird on my shoulder, zippity-doo-dah, zippity. I live with that every day. My wife is zippity-doo-dah. She wakes up smiling, goes through the day smiling, goes to bed smiling, really just gets on my nerves, I'll be honest with you. I'm talking about, I believe if I resign my church tomorrow, as long as I didn't take Miss Wendy, they'd be all right with it. She just has that conduct. But you know what I know, Pastor? I know that young ladies in that church watch her life. I know that others watch her. And by the way, all of you ladies, whether it's piano players or pastor's wife or Sunday school teachers or leaders, remember your conduct in your life represents Christ, and somebody's looking at it and somebody's watching it, and we need to be an example in our conduct of our lives. Now, my wife's not like me. My wife does not shout and wave her hand and holler amen. Matter of fact, if you're ever in a service with her and she does that, you turn around because Jesus just walked through the back door. Amen. I mean, honestly, but listen, I'm telling you, you got to have the conduct. Paul said, Timothy, I'm going to leave this in your hand, son. But he said, make sure that your conversation, your words honor Christ. Make sure that your conduct honors Christ. I want you to notice something. The Lord was just showing me this in the Word of God as I've studied it. Look back one more time. The Bible goes on to say here, not only should it be in our conduct, and not only should it be in our conversation, but I want you to notice this. The Bible also says, look at it now. It says here, let no man despise thee. You be an example of believers in word, in conversation. Look at the next word. In charity. I jotted these notes down in my notes. What a person loves and does not love says volume about them. Now, this is the last night of the meeting, and I knew I'd go this direction, but I love preaching to the church, and I want to do this. Let me just say this to you tonight. I look around and observe when I go in churches, and I do that because I've been a pastor 30-some years. And you see things. One of the things that I see, and by the fact it's just like home, is the fact that Crossroads Baptist Church loves sinners. Let me explain something to you. I've been in churches where lost people, preacher, almost didn't feel welcome. I've been in churches where signs were over the door. You can't come in here if you're dressed a certain way. Now listen. I believe that you got to catch the fish before you clean it. Now, I don't fish. I've been watching all them boats on that lake this week, man, every day. Ran back and forth. And it's fun when they're going fast. I like that. But when they stop, get that little sissy motor out and move around real slow, I'm ready to go fast again. Call me when you're going fast again. But I want you to watch this. If I go fishing, here's how I like to fish. When I fish, when I pull that fish in, I want it to have tartar sauce, slaw, hush puppies, french fries. Amen. I mean, praise God, I want it to come out right. Amen. Say, preacher, why are you saying that? Listen, you can't reach this world if you don't love this world. Oh, I understand Scripture. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's exactly right. You and I are in this world. We're not the same as the world, but we have to win the world. Hey, man, you know how you do that? Paul told Timothy, charity. Charity. Love. Can I tell you this? I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a man that can preach, but he don't love people. Hey, man. My mom is 94 years old. Still lives at home by herself. Got a speeding ticket a couple years ago. I'm so proud of her. When you're 94 years old and you get a speeding ticket, hallelujah. That's a proud moment. I wish that had been on live PD. I love live PD. I'll tape every one of them. I love that program. I never realized people could be so crazy. But anyway, when I was coming up, I just never was a people person. I'll be honest. You ever wonder why in the world God calls some people to do what they do? Preacher, I think you were talking to me about somebody you knew that was so quiet, wouldn't hardly even hear a word, and they get in the pulpit to like a machine gun, you know? And you is who he's talking about. I mean, I ain't heard you say 10 things since I've been here. But he says you get up in the pulpit and you just, amen. I like that. That's called preaching, amen. But I just didn't like people. God helped me to learn to love people like I needed to. But to this day, my 94-year-old mama, she says, and you know, when you're 94 years old, you can pretty much say what you want to, you know. She says, well, I'll tell you this, God sure is using you because I know you don't like people. And I say to her, mama, that was years ago. I like people now. So help me. Preacher, I ain't lying to you. I called her in 2 weeks, say, mom, we've had a good meeting up here. She said, that's amazing to me. She said, because I know you don't like people. Can I tell you something? Churches need to love people. Love sinners. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the people we reach, sometimes I want to skin them alive. Sometimes I want to boot them out the door, whatever. It's difficult sometimes. But you've got to remember, Jesus didn't die for the righteous. He didn't die for folks that don't need him. If we're sick, we don't need him. If we're not sick, we don't need a physician. He died. Listen. Paul said to Timothy, I want you to stay with me now, listen. Paul said to Timothy, I want you to love people. I'm going to tell you something, you can win people just by loving them. Real deal. You ought to love your church. You know, it's so dumb to talk about your church when you go there. Isn't it? Unless it's good. You ought to love your church. You ought to love, listen, love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Love Him. Love Him. Put Him first in your life. Number four, look back with me. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, you need to make sure that your conversation is what it needs to be, your words, your conduct, your charity. But then look at the next part. Don't miss this. He said also in spirit. In spirit. I use that as in consecration. Spirit here is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about a zeal or a passion for the things of God. Do y'all get excited about stuff? Now listen, first time I preached in this church, I'd never make the mistake again of mentioning anything about Florida, Alabama, or any other place that's got a college. I've always had liberty here until the first time I preached here, I made reference to one of them other schools. It wasn't Tennessee. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I was going to get out of here in my life. Amen. I bought an orange tie the next day just to wear it. Isn't it amazing what people get passionate about? I was telling somebody, now North Carolina Tar Heels basketball is always pretty good. You know, all them national championships is always pretty good. We do have a football team. And they're always used for people's homecomings. Amen. But we do have a football team. But I've seen on television before at Neyland Stadium 90-some, 100,000 people. And the passion. And then sometimes I go to churches and I wonder, where's that kind of passion? Can I say this to you? When God saved me, I was hammered down, wide open for the world, and God saved me out of the world, and I made up my mind a long time ago, if I can give that much to God or the world, I can give that much to God, and I ought to have a passion for the things of God. Was I spitting on you? Okay. I want you to understand tonight, Paul said, can I tell you something? If you're going to serve God, have a passion for it. If you're going to cook French fries, praise God, cook them with a passion. Amen. Flip them fries up and go, hallelujah. Amen. If you're going to run a bus route or van, if you're going to teach a class, if you're going to sing it, Lord, I'm feeling a little help now. If you're going to sing in a choir, if you're going to pastor a church, if you're going to do whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But have a passion about what you do. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I've never had anybody come up to me and say, Brother Joe and I, we laugh about this, me and him both. Brother Joe's actually a very smart man, a lot smarter than I am. But I've never had anybody come to me and say, Pastor, I just want to really thank you for your great breaking down of the Scripture and your deep thought process. I want to thank you for your great intelligence and for the way you rightly divide. Now, we don't need to do all that, but nobody's ever come up to me and said, well, I'm amazed how smart you are. If I'm smart, it's because I read somebody smarter than me. Amen. But watch. I've never had that. Now, you know, every now and then I teach my people something. They're so shocked. They're like, wow. I wonder where he got that. I had one lady in the meet come up to me. So help me. She said, Brother Hazel, you're my favorite preacher. And I said, man, thank you. I said, why is that? She said, because you're so simple. You're just so easy to understand. I said, well, hallelujah. Everybody's got to have somebody. But can I tell y'all this? I've had a many a time when somebody come up to me and said, Brother Chris, I just want to thank you for being in love with the Lord. I want to thank you for your excitement. I want to thank you for the joy you show. Why? Because, friend, let the redeemed of the Lord say so and have a zeal and a passion, a spirit for God. Amen. I mean, Lord, have mercy, man. We are not the frozen chosen. No, we don't listen. We don't have to shout the roof off and run the aisles and not to do all that. Now, I'm not against it. North Carolina mountain stuff, I'm not against it. I'm for it. But sometimes, watch this. Dr. Caldwell taught me this. Sometimes deep water runs quiet. Right? But we ought to have a zeal. You ought to see. I'm really supposed to not preach long tonight because I got a long drive, but I'm just having fun. You, my wife's going, I can't see you. See, she's just seen up there. She don't see me down here, so all she does is hear me. I think she kind of likes that. But anyway, I'm talking about zeal. You ought to sit sometime, Pastor. They ought to sit on the platform or stand in the pulpit and look at some people sometime we look at. I mean, I walked in the building, I wasn't impressed at all. I sat there and looked at the congregation for a little while, and I'm going, Lord, have mercy. You know, but as soon, I tell my people, what is it about y'all? As soon as a last amen, they get back in the vestibule, go out the door, you think they're having Holy Ghost revival meeting in the parking lot, talking about Walmart, fishing, hunting, guns. I have some dude out there just built a new AK-47, 14 men around him weeping and crying. Well, praise the Lord. Set in church like the dead as a hammer. Right? Friend, don't misunderstand me. I get it. Lord, I'm telling you, I don't like that now. Hey, I'm getting ready to have a spell. Listen to me. I like all them things. I enjoy things that God lets us do. I enjoy some of those sports. I enjoy some of those activities. But there ain't nothing like what God put in my soul and what God's done in my life. And God's gave me a zeal. And God's gave me a heart for the things of God. Miss Eva, am I telling you right? I'm going to tell you something. I'm excited about this thing of serving God.
Amen.
I get to.
Yes.
I get to.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I got to move on, but I'm stuck.
There you go.
Hey? Look at your neighbor and say, you ought to smile more. Do Amen. You know, I'm amazed how much money we spend on our teeth. And then we hide them. Right? Ought to smile more. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, he said, not only does your conduct need to be right, but your charity. That love. But he said, not only that, but your consecration, your spirit. Your spirit. Amen? I like getting around folks and it gets contagious. I grew up in the country. Hub Mill Road, feed mill down at the bottom of the hill. My dad raised chickens. Did not raise chickens to send to Holly Farms or to Bojangles. My dad raised chickens to beat each other up. He was unsaved. Gambling. My dad had chickens. If you walked by the pen, that chicken would say, mess with me, buddy. I mean, they were mean. I'm being honest. I had to feed them things and water them growing up as a boy. I've had more chicken mess between my toes. You ain't a country boy till you've walked somewhere in chicken mess. I guess that's a good word. It's a whole lot better than I could say. But we had said conversation. But we, my grandmother and my mom could make something. And I probably shared it. You ever heard of cathead biscuit? Now, I was preaching up north one time, and a lady got so burdened about what I said about a cathead biscuit, she talked to me after church. This lady from up north said, certainly, preacher, did you really grow up having to eat catheads on biscuits? I said, ma'am, you're originally from here, huh? How many know what I'm talking about, cathead biscuit? Can I get a witness? Here's what she used to do. They used to have gravy in a bowl. Y'all remember the white gravy, put it in the cup, had a saucer underneath the cup. And you'd take that cathead biscuit and you could dip it in that bowl and get some out, put it on the biscuit, but sometimes it'd run off over on the saucer. Now, we called that sopping gravy. That means when the cup got full and ran over, you'd get your biscuit and you'd sop it up around that. By the way, what was on the saucer was just as good as what was in the cup. I like getting around God's people that get so full and get so happy in the Lord and enjoy the journey that it begins to spill out of the cup. Get down on the saucer. Hey, can I say this? I may not always be dipping in the cup, but I can dip off the saucer of somebody that's got a zeal for God. If we don't get excited about Jesus, why would we expect lost people to get excited about Jesus? We've got to get to that place. Amen. Number five. And I'm done. Look back at it. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. That's conversation. Listen, that's conversation. In conversation, that's our conduct. In charity, in spirit, that's our consecration. In faith, and I'm going to move to this last word, in purity. That's the chastity. That's the example of morality. That's the example of what we ought to be morally as a child of God. Can I say this to you tonight? This world doesn't have a lot of morals. But God's children ought to have morals. Ought to have morality. Paul said, Timothy, when you live your life as an example that other people can see it. Last night, if you weren't here, I used a glow stick I'd bought at Dollar General, and I preached a message last night on us becoming a light and glowing in the dark was the name of the message, glowing in the dark. And I shared last night three things that make that little glow stick glow. One of them had a bend. I talked about a picture of prayer. Second thing was, I said, it had a snap, which means sometimes God's got to break you. And the third thing I said about that little glow stick was, you got to shake it, and sometimes God's got to shake you. But don't you listen to me tonight. This world is looking for real Christians. Real people that love a real God, that serve a real Savior, and that'll live for Him. I have met people that said they were Christians, but I never saw it. But I've been around a few people. When you just get around them. We got a man in our church. I'll close with this tonight. His name is Clarence. Clarence is African American. He is maybe 60, 50, late 50s, 60. One of our men met Clarence one day at a Hardee's. He was in a Hardee's and he had a Bible in front of him. One of our men walked over to him and said, "It's certainly good to see another Christian reading the Bible." Clarence looked at him and said, "I can't read." Clarence could not read the Bible. He had it open, but he couldn't read it. He was just sitting in Hardee's eating a biscuit with his Bible open. Clarence came to our church and he's my buddy. I love him so much. He got saved. Baptized.
Amen.
He never, ever, ever misses church.
Amen.
But when I walk in church and I need some encouragement, I walk by Clarence. I'll just walk by him. He'll always say something like, "Preacher, I love you. Praying for you." It's almost like he's got honey dripping off of him, preacher. He's just so sweet and so kind. I still don't know if he can read his Bible. But I know it's open every time I preach. And that smile's on his face. And he loves God so much. That's the kind of example I want to be. I want to be somebody that other people can see Christ in my life. Amen? How about you tonight? Who's watching you? What's the gospel according to you? What do people see? Oh, it's easy to see it in here. What about outside of here? People see you at work or see you somewhere, do they say, "There's that Christian fellow, that Christian lady. Boy, that person loves the Lord." They really do. You can tell they love the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight to do what Timothy needed to do when Paul talked to him. He said, "Be thou an example." You know what I tell my young people all the time? I say, "Guys, there's a lot of people that you'll come in contact with that will never come to hear me preach that I can't reach." Preaching, you're talking about having the hunt you have, and you talk about it, and I've seen your calendar on the outreach. This world needs to know that people love them and that we are real. Amen? Amen? What kind of example are you to your family? What kind of example are you to people you go to school with? What kind of example are you to other Christians? When people see you, do they say, "You know what? That Miss Eva Paquette, or listen, that Brother Chris, or that Brother Dixon, or that Tyler, or whatever. You can tell they love the Lord." You don't have to put it on. Fake it. Just love Him. Amen? Let's stand our feet tonight.
Amen.
Why are piano players coming tonight? Don't you love the zeal she plays the piano with? churches are so blessed. Young man, her husband leading the music. He's got zeal. Have you noticed that? He just got zeal. I want to ask you something tonight. Do you know somebody that needs Christ? You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you tonight know someone that needs the Lord. Maybe that person works with you. Maybe that person's in your family. Maybe that person goes to school with you. But I wonder tonight, would you be willing to pray, Lord, make me an example to people that are unsaved? And then maybe some of you Christians tonight could be an example to other Christians. Can I tell you this? You can play, sister, and you ready? Can I tell you this tonight? One of my heroes is a lady in our church. Her and her husband were at Calvary when I got there. They have 4 daughters. I hadn't been at Calvary very long, and Miss Carol was diagnosed with a stage, I can't remember, 3 or 4 lymphoma. I'll never forget when they told us that she had that. I watched her girls, her husband, and they were pretty much destroyed. And you know, I can understand that. She began that battle with cancer, Brother Danny. Went through the treatment. I may have shared with you before, but she lost her hair. She's a very beautiful lady. All of her kids, her husband, all her family, just precious people. And she put a wig on, kept singing in the choir. Never, just kept going to chemo, fighting cancer, singing the choir. The choir in our old building, before we went out in the building we're in now, was right behind me, like right behind my seat. And I looked back at her one day and I said, "Miss Carol, your hair looks nice." You know, just trying to encourage her. She looked at me and she said, "Preacher, I always wanted to try this color." She said, "But it took cancer for me to give it a shot." That's the way she was all the time. A couple of Sundays ago, she stood up. Still going, stood up, and for 10 years has been cancer free. It's a miracle. Had another child after the diagnosis. A miracle. I want you to watch this. When I look through that congregation and I'm going through a tough time, am I right, Miss Eva? Is she not one of the most precious people in this world? I'll see Miss Carol sitting right back on the left. And I remember in her darkest hour, she kept on living for God. And I'm going to tell you what her example does. Her example makes me want to live for God when it's not all going like I want it to go. Whatever you face, Paul said, "Be thou an example." I wonder why our brother's leading us in what number? 394. I wonder tonight how many of us, and some may already begin to come, I wonder how many tonight want to gather around this altar one more time on a Friday night and say, "Lord, wherever I go tomorrow, whoever I'm around, let my light shine. Let me be an example. Let me make a difference in somebody's life for the cause of Christ." While he's singing, you mind the Lord tonight. Crossroads Baptist Church, thank you for being an example. Keep on singing, buddy. God, make me an example. Let somebody see Christ in my life. Is that what you're praying tonight? Let somebody see God in our church. Preacher, I love you. I appreciate you being a good example for Jesus. Amen. Amen, guys. Amen. Yes, yes. Yes. God touch these young people who want to be something for the Lord, families. In this crazy world we live in, Pastor, but we need somebody to look up to that lives for God. And you know, folks are going off the scene. God needs to raise up some of us that will live for God. No pretense. No fake. My word. Real. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I love you, buddy.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Yes, sir.